grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Hello and welcome to the 95 BFM once again, Chris Fowley.
G'day.
Got your little, got your device in hand. Got all the scoops of the week in the way of marijuana in the media.
That's right. I need a bit of prompting these days.
Fair enough.
There's so much going on. I tell you, every week I wait for a quiet week when we can explore an issue more in depth. We're like, let's go over like drug testing. Or let's go over these things people ask a lot of. Everywhere, there's just so much going on at the moment.
It's go time for weed in New Zealand.
Pardon?
It's go time for marijuana in New Zealand, isn't it? Really?
It is. It is. And that is the major story of the week, of course, is the news about the referendum.
Possibly moving it forward 12 months.
Yes, yes. And this actually became, to an extent, it became inevitable as soon as the euthanasia thing popped up. And that may have only popped up in order to shift the cannabis referendum. In that, as soon as you make a euthanasia referendum, and where'd that come from, right? That was just like, that was New Zealand first.
Yeah.
Well, who has an interest?
We're going to chuck them together, eh? Is that still happening?
That might happen, yeah. Well, that's the natural politics of it. You wouldn't hold two separate referendums. As soon as a referendum one comes into play, and they would never want a euthanasia referendum to be held during a general election, what MP would want their job on the line while we're debating that kind of thing?
True.
You know? And so that was always going to be brought forward to next year. And cannabis one was always going to be wrapped up in it. So, it's got that inevitability to it. There's pros and cons with both. The good thing about doing it sooner is it's sooner. That's awesome. Because there's still thousands of people being arrested every year.
Yep.
Even the Herald, I think it was a reprint from the Whanganui Chronicle, but they even ran a story about the police raiding a guy and finding some cannabis and a pipe in his bedroom. And that was the article. Police find cannabis and pipe in man's bedroom.
Ooh.
And the Herald printed that. It's like, A, not only are they out there doing it,
he's up to
but
some
B, the
there.
Media find that interesting enough to print, you know?
Leaving things lying around your bedroom with your door closed where you keep all your stuff.
Yeah, in your private life. Yeah. How dare that adult? Jeez.
Or they clean your room if the cops coming around. Maybe they just tripped over it and they're a bit pissed off, so they thought they'd mention it.
Yeah, so this is still going on. They're still busting medical users, and we know that a lot of medical users won't be covered by the bill that the government are putting through. And so by bringing forward the referendum and any law reform there that applies to everyone, and then you're going to mop up where you're going to hopefully take care of all those people that aren't being taken care of through a more strict kind of medical bill. That's a pro, but really, really low turnout, right? Like last local body elections for Auckland postal vote, right? 35% turnout. That is pathetic.
That's
why we get, a fairly lame kind of council, let's be honest. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge, is if it's a postal vote, we've actually got to motivate people to vote.
So wrapping up both the issues into one referendum, do you think this is a good idea? Do you think it could sway the turnout in any particular direction?
Well, I don't think the anti-cannabis kind of movement, well, there isn't one. Most people are on our side now, and most people can see the sense and the logic to it. I don't think there'll be much of a campaign in terms of a turnout for against the cannabis referendum, but there will be around the euthanasia one, particularly a lot of churches and the minor, more kind of conservative ones. They'll do a pretty good job of getting the turnout out, right? And that's kind of what we're a bit worried about. If the default turnout's only 35% and these conservatives are going really hard to come out for the euthanasia one, and the cannabis one's all wrapped up in that, that's not going to be good.
That will potentially sink the cannabis.
Maybe. So then it influences the question you put forward, right? Because if it's non-binding, which is what the government's now talking about, or Labour is anyway, New Zealand First and the Greens want it to be binding.
Yep.
If it's binding, you only have to pass by 50.1. That means your question can be more progressive. You could put legalisation on the ballot, right? If you only have to win by 50.1. If it's non-binding, you really need to win by 70, 80% in order to give the government a mandate to actually do it and send them a clear message, right? And that means you're looking at a more moderate kind of question.
Do you think they'll use this to influence future policy? Do you think it's like, how progressive is New Zealand at the moment? You know, with a referendum like this, they can measure how open people be to changing other policy?
Yeah. Well, here's the ideal thing, right, is that you would do a whole lot of focus groups and polls right now to work out where we should be and actually run the question based on that and model the different ways that you can word it and things like that. But yeah, we do need to kind of measure ourselves against the rest of the world, and we are falling way behind. And, you know, Canada is going to legalize this year. There's 9 states in America that are already legal. There'll be more of them joined later this year. Even the UN, the World Health Organization, is calling for decriminalization. As we talked last week, British Medical Journal legalized all drugs.
I think it should be legalized.
Yeah, well, especially when we talk about exactly. Yes,
I'm just a common man.
Everyone, you know, was waiting for that. And but if we're talking 2020, we're going to be even more behind. And if that's a non-binding, and we're going to do a law after that, then come on, we're talking 21, 22. Like, how far behind the rest of the world do we want to get? Whereas if we start this process now, here's the thing: in order to run a referendum, the government has to pass a law to create the referendum. There is no referendum act, right? You actually have to tailor each one. It's a bespoke referendum every single time. You have to pass a law to enable it, so you can design them in any way you want.
Okay.
And you could make it that the very act of passing that law determines the question and the model by allowing public submissions and having a process like the select committee process in Parliament, and actually coming up with the question right there as part of it, rather than kind of just, you know, behind closed doors saying, oh, this is a question we're going to go with. Mm.
How much influence do you have in the lead up to a referendum? Would you be contributing to some of these, like the ideas behind focus groups and things like that?
Oh, well, we'd hope to, but you know, that's partly what we do with things like this is talking to hopefully opinion leaders that are listening to get the things out. So, you know, there's a lot that I can't do, or that people won't necessarily want to meet with me, but if I get the ideas out there to other people and then they hear it from them, and to be honest, that's what we've been doing a lot of the last few years, is just working out who will actually make a difference taking that message to a particular person. And oftentimes they're just, no, but if it's a friend of theirs or someone who's in a similar situation, then yes, they're more receptive. So
a well-formatted email sometimes will just get it across the way, isn't it?
Maybe. Chances are low, but maybe.
A really good-looking email where there's like one sentence, but all the formalities are like 4 paragraphs. I love that stuff.
Sometimes it is just about planting ideas and planting seeds. And you know, I actually bumped into Andrew Little 2 weeks ago when I was down in Parliament. And in the 1 minute that we talked in the corridor, it was about everything about this referendum. And yeah, I think we're on the same page. You know, this government wants to do it. They're just very aware of the politics and that it's going to get tied up in an election no matter which way we go. So they're naturally quite careful, shall we say, before they make a move. Okay. Mm. But it is happening. Who would have thought?
It's great. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
John's going to get back to his old ways.
You know, get engaged. Like, contact your local MP, especially if they're Labour. And anyone can contact people like Andrew Little, who's at that kind of cabinet level. You don't have to have them as your local MP, but, you know, tell them that you want it to be binding, you want it to be brought forward to the 2019, and you want it to be on a definitive, specified model that we've all had a say in helping to develop.
That's right, because these people are just humans as well, so they are impacted by all sorts of advertising just like we are. So that's, if you advertise to them what you want, that could resonate in, right?
Right.
There's some logic there, right?
Somewhere. There's a bit, yep. Well done.
Hey, thanks again, Chris. Always a pleasure, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Oh, thanks, John. Sorry,
cheers,
mate.
And you, yeah, cheers. Sorry. Cheers. Good to see you.
That was Marijuana Media. I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing. She makes me feel.
Oh, mate, Chris.